Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Anne Walsh Bradley was reelected to a third 10-year term on the bench by easily defeating Rock County Circuit Court Judge James Daly yesterday. Are you generally happy or disappointed with that result? Who did you vote for State Supreme Court Justice and why? Also, voters yesterday approved a constitutional amendment that allows the justices to choose the Chief Justice rather than the position automatically going to the most senior member of the court. Did the voters get that right or not? How did you vote on that question and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You will also find these two questions posted online on the Facebook page and at wpr.org/joy. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will follow up on yesterday's Supreme Court election results with two former Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us John Wilcox, a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. He was appointed by then Governor Tommy Thompson in 1992, retired in 2007. He was also a circuit court judge, a former state lawmaker, and served on several state boards. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming back and being with us. Janine Geske is also with us. She is a retired distinguished professor of law at Marquette University and was director of its Restorative Justice Initiative. She, too, is a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, was appointed by then-Governor Tommy Thompson in 1993 and resigned in 1998. She was also a Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Janine.
It's good to have you both with us. Let's start by getting your reactions to yesterday's results, starting with the race for state Supreme Court justice. We'll go to you first, Janine Geske. What do you think about Anne Walsh Bradley winning another term?
Well, I think that people had the sense that she was going to win. She ran a very strong campaign. She's a very well-respected jurist in the state, and she obviously was able to raise more money than Judge Daly. And so I think, you know, I think that I'm not surprised at her win. And I'm not surprised at the vote on the constitutional amendment, which I'm sure we'll discuss.
Yeah. Well, John Wilcox, your takeaway from the state Supreme Court justice race, Judge Daly was defeated handily.
Well, I think that I'm not, as Janine said, I'm certainly not surprised by it. It's very difficult to beat an incumbent. I think they had a rather good race. It was relatively tranquil compared to some of the other justices' race in the past. So I think that went as expected, and that would be my feeling on it.
Mm. The Anne Walsh Bradley, Justice Bradley, was running on a campaign theme of being nonpartisan and independent. Was that a big factor, Janine Geske?
Well, I think it is. I think people are getting tired of sort of being hit over the head with the partisan politics injecting themselves into the campaigns. And I think, you know, she ran on her record. She ran on being nonpartisan. She also did not take political contributions from a political party. And I think that played a role, as well as her history as a justice and her work. And on the other side of the fence, I personally thought it was unfortunate that Judge Daly didn't run more on his record. He's done some very impressive work in Rock County on problem-solving courts, working with veterans, working with people that have been convicted of drunk driving in his courtroom, and I have a great deal of admiration for those courts. And I would have liked to see him run more on that rather than on supporting the reform agenda of the governor. But I think that played a role. I don't know that that was the deciding role.
Mm-hmm. John Wilcox?
No, I thought it was a, as I said, a tranquil race. It wasn't I would say, as loud as some of the other justices' race have been in the past. And I agree with Jeanine that Justice Bradley ran a very good race. I think Justice Daley ran a good race also. He was outfunded like 3-1, and that makes a big difference. And I think that his message basically was that there should be a change up there. I think, and that comes to the next subject, I think that the surprising thing is that the direction of the court now may be changed because of the second vote. But I think all in all that it was a good race, and I appreciate the fact that Justice Geske recognized that Judge Daley, who is the chief judge down there, ran a good race, and there were obviously on both sides some partisan things, but that's what happens in today's world.
Today's New York Times headline, Wisconsin reelects liberal judge but opens door for conservative chief justice. Jeanine Geske, you said you were not surprised that voters reelected Ann Walsh Bradley, but also approved a constitutional amendment that would change the way the chief justice is chosen. Why were you not surprised that voters decided to go the way they did on the constitutional amendment?
Well, I believe that for a couple of reasons. One, I think that the Republican legislature did a very clever job of writing the referendum, which is what proponents do, you know, asking whether the Supreme Court ought to elect their chief justice, which you know, the question that if you don't know anything about how it's been done in the past, the question is as opposed to what, you know, and so I think that, you know, it sounded like it made sense, and I think people's natural inclination would be vote yes. The second part, obviously, is that the Wisconsin Manufacturers Group put $600,000 of advertising in it. Now, in full disclosure, I appeared in an ad that opposed the referendum, but, you know, I believe that the group that was funding the ads to oppose it were put in about a third of the money that the other side put in. And so I think that, you know, the referendum sounded like it made sense. It takes a long explanation as to what the history has been, what the other possibilities might have been. And one of the things I've said is that maybe the amendment was a good idea, but there was no open discussion of the various possibilities and ways we could have done it. And instead, this was put through clearly to remove the Chief Justice. And, I don't know how much people knew that.
John Wilcox, first on were you surprised at all that voters voted differently in these two Supreme Court issues?
Well, I wasn't surprised, but I didn't have as much confidence that the amendment would be passed as Justice Geske. I testified for it back in 2013 and then twice in 2014. I felt it was a good idea. I talked to my other justices, particularly some other retired justices, and they thought it was a good idea. And these, together, we had served over 40 years on the court. And I told them, and we discussed the fact that we thought it would bring more civility, collegiality, and certainly more transparency to the court. I think it makes the court more independent. And I also think that the public, despite what Justice Geske said, the public was aware of some of the problems that had been on the court. And I think this brings a new beginning to this court. It's about doing the public's business, and I think that the court has kind of forgotten that sometimes, that the court works for the people. So that I think basically, and that's what I said, that this will give all justices a good, equal opportunity to involve themselves in the administration and the workings of the court. The system itself, I think, was corrosive in that it permitted the court to, in other words, seniority is out. Basically, well, you know, only five states had it. 22 states are doing exactly what the voters decided to do. And I think that the chief judge seniority system was antiquated, and that's why I felt that this new system will be better in the long run. Now,
let me jump in because we have a newscast. We'll get a news update, and then we'll continue talking with former Supreme Court Justices John Wilcox and Jeanine Geske about yesterday's election results. Wisconsin voters have approved a constitutional amendment changing the way the Chief Justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is chosen. The seven-member court will now be able to vote to decide their Chief Justice. For the past 126 years, the position has gone to the most senior member of the court. Shirley Abrahamson has served as Chief Justice since 1996 and is the longest-serving Chief Justice in Wisconsin history. She is viewed as part of a liberal minority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Opponents to this constitutional amendment that was on yesterday's ballot said the Republican-controlled legislature targeted Abrahamson for removal by putting that question on the ballot. But supporters say having the justices pick their leader will make the court run better. Only seven states decide Chief Justice by seniority, while 22 have justices decide. So how did you vote on this question on yesterday's ballot? And why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is our big question, and we are getting the takes of two former state Supreme Court justices on this amendment ballot question and on the race for Supreme Court justice, in which the incumbent Ann Walsh Bradley defeated her challenger, Rock County Judge Daly. That's the results in the Supreme Court race. Let me welcome our guests back, John Wilcox, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, and Jeanine Geske, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. We heard Justice Wilcox say that he thinks that the approval of this amendment will lead to a better-run court, more civility, collegiality, transparency. Justice Geske, is that going to happen with a change in the way the Supreme Court Justice is selected?
Let me begin my comments by saying this discussion reminds me why I like serving with John Wilcox. You know, he and I disagreed sometimes on things, but very reasoned, and I appreciate being on the show with him. I think, and I said this, that in the long run, it potentially, this change might not be a bad one, although I think we should have discussed it. You know, as you mentioned, you've covered 29 states, but there are 50 states. So what are the other states doing, and is there a mechanism we should have looked at if we're going to change our Constitution? And we should have really discussed why we're changing it rather than special interests deciding they don't want the current Chief Justice in that position, which is what I think happened. Justice Wilcox didn't quite finish that, you know, in the long run it may be a good thing, and that may be. I think it's going to inject more discord at this point. If what I think is going to happen is that the current Chief Justice, who when she ran as Chief Justice Abrahamson, is suddenly going to be taken out of that position and put in someone who hasn't been planning for it, who hasn't really studied the job, because I think often the Chief Justices prepare for it, is going to take that position. And under the constitutional amendment that the public approved, potentially only has that position for 2 years, which is not a very long time to sort of get the institutional wisdom and experience to run it. One of the interesting questions, and Justice Wilcox raised this, is that it's going to increase transparency. And I don't quite know how that's going to happen. To me, it's going to be an interesting question of whether the court is going to, in open conference, elect its Chief Justice. Because if it's about the people having an ability to elect their Chief Justice through their justices, it would be helpful for, I think, an open discussion by the justices of who they're going to select and why they're going to select it. The other part of openness is that we used to do administrative conferences at open where the justices would talk outside in the open conference. And frankly, during much of Chief Justice Abrahamson's time as Chief Justice, we in fact had those conferences. The court has now voted to take those behind closed doors in most cases, and whether or not that's going to be opened up. So I think there's a lot of things to watch for. Unfortunately, in my view, we have now changed our Constitution without really thinking these things through and wondering how it's going to happen. But in the long run, it may not be a bad thing. In the short run, I think it's going to cause more problems.
A response to that, Justice Wilcox.
Well, my response is basically that 22 other states have done it. As far as I know, they like the system. I know that I talked to a justice from the state of Florida long before he or she became head of the court there. They changed their constitution in 1972, and I think it's apparently worked well there in other states. As far as the transparency, I'm not talking about the voting. I can imagine, I don't think the system that Justice Geske is talking about in open court when you talk about each other and then you say, well, so-and-so will be a better justice and so-and-so will be a better chief justice. I don't think that that's the transparency I'm talking about. I'm talking about the transparency in administration, knowing what the budget is, knowing how people are appointed through administrative process, things like that. It'll allow the other justices to really know what's going on. In fact, that's been part of the obliqueness, the obscureness of the court is what has bothered me. So I'm not talking about having a nomination process out in front of everybody and then talking about the various merits. I think that would be corrosive and would destroy what little collegiality may be there. What I'm talking about is that the court now has seven justices, all of equal ability, and when she says, well, it'll take them time to get up to speed, I think most of them will be up to speed. They've been there for many years. By the way, Chief Justice Abrahamson can run again. Certainly the newly elected Ann Walsh Bradley can run. Anybody can run there. And even though it may be unlikely that they'd be elected, they certainly have the opportunity to discuss where the court goes, and that's the main thing, as I said before.
Yeah, Justice Wilcox, what do you say to the argument that the Republican-controlled legislature passed this proposed constitutional amendment as a way to get back at Chief Justice Abrahamson?
No, I don't think so. And my remarks for 3 years have been about a better court. It wasn't about just the Chief Justice. It was about a better system. That's what I'm talking about, a system that will be more collegial, run by all of the justices. And the seniority system, as I said, it's in Louisiana. Mississippi has it, but other states have gone away from it because it allows for more collegiality, and that's what I saw. Seniority, in my opinion, is a corrosive system. And it's not good, and there are a lot of things that that have been done there, and unfortunately, it leads to we've had all these dust-ups. But the other thing I wanted to say, Chief Justice Abrahamson did not run as chief of the court. She ran as a justice for the court, just like everybody else, and because of our Constitution, and as you mentioned, 126 years we've had this system, and it's not a modern system. It's not something that allows for a better working relationship. So maybe in the short run, and I don't have the slightest idea, but that's up to the justices. They all have to, let's say, realize that now we have a different system, and they're going to have to make the very best of it and remember that it's about the public and doing the public's business. It's not about bickering on the court. And I think a lot of the voters, these are the same voters that elected Justice Bradley, voted to change the court. And I would say that, as Janine, in full disclosure, the same group, the Greater Wisconsin group, gave $280,000 or more for this TV ad, and I think it was to confuse the voters that we do elect the Chief Justice now, and that's not true in any sense of the word. That's why the Constitution had to be changed. So it's my hope that it will lead to civility, collegiality, and transparency, particularly in the administrative area. And the idea that Janine was throwing out, well, we should now have this vote and open. No, I don't think it should be. I think it'd be like anything, like you're going to be, you don't want any bad feelings to come out of this. I want just good things to happen on the court.
We need to take some calls from our listeners, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you would like to weigh in on the Supreme Court election issues that we are discussing with former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice John Wilcox and former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janine Geske. Bob in River Falls is with us. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I see this as, by the way, the argument that 20 other states have done this, so therefore it's a good idea, is absurd. 20 states would probably vote to reinstate slavery if it were possible, so that's a throwaway line. But here's my point. I think that I've always viewed the state's Supreme Court as a place to appeal from abuses of the system that occur in the legislature. We've got this horrific gerrymandering of the state assembly, well, the whole state legislature, so there's probably never going to be any way that that can be corrected for many years. And this incredible brazen flouting of appearances of conflict of interest by court members. And, you know, so who's going to believe in any kind of objectivity in the court or any honesty? I don't anymore. And even the U.S. Supreme Court, you've got Scalia and Thomas engaging in all this questionable activity, which could lead to conflicts of interest. And no one seems to care. Not only, we also have our own governor floating the law.
Now, we're really getting far afield here, Bob. So what is your point about this amendment? Well, he doesn't want to. He just hung up on that. So not happy with where the Supreme Court is right now. Justice Geske, do you want to talk a little bit, maybe expand on Bob's comments on what difference does it make who the Chief Justice is?
Well, the Chief Justice, first of all, the Chief Justice's powers are no greater than any other justice on the court in terms of deciding when the court takes a case, which case to take, or how to vote or write a particular case. Every justice is equal on that. The role of the Chief Justice is really on the administrative side of the court. So in terms of setting the agenda for meetings, for directing and overseeing those meetings, to represent the court publicly at a variety of places, to speak, to give the state of the judiciary, to be the representative of the court for negotiations on the budget, to work with the various committees of the courts, and so a very public role on behalf of the court. That's not to say the other justices can't do it, and John and I did a lot of that ourselves, you know, as associate justices on the court. So I do want to speak to one thing that Justice Wilcox talked about, and he and I disagree on this, but I think, you know, if we're going to talk about the merits, that the current Chief Justice has worked very hard on transparency, on how people were picked for committees. She opened it up and really got the court to say, you know, let's have an independent committee, kind of look at people, let people apply, let us know who wants to. And it was very much sort of a closed club historically, and that was very much changed during her chief justiceship. But be that what it may, the new Chief Justice will set his or her own view as to sort of what their issues are, much like other public figures do. And it, you know, and it can change the direction of the court. You know, in terms of Bob's comment, I too am very concerned, and I think as Justice Wilcox is, about the public's perception of the court. And we may disagree at how that may be improved, but there's no question that people have been, their confidence in the court and even its decision making has been shaken by everything from alleged ethical violations to the infighting that's happened in the court that's spilled out into the public and other things that have happened. And if people do not have confidence in that third independent branch of government, we're in trouble, because that is the third leg of our democracy, and it is important that people can trust what comes out of that court.
Mm-hmm. Justice Wilcox?
Well, I and you can see from this conversation, Janine and I have had this discussion before. We got along on the court, and I would be privileged to serve with her again on the court, but we got off, so we're kind of outsiders now. I do want to correct a couple things. First of all, we don't have associate justices. I know she mentioned it. That's the thing. All justices are equal. Other courts have associate justices. We do not. Wisconsin has justices that are equal. The only difference was we had the seniority system, and that allowed the longest-serving justice to be the chief justice. The other thing is, and just to correct the record, Chief Justice Abrams was not elected as chief justice by the people. And even the Milwaukee Journal that I get, and I was noticing they gave that statement right there that this Greater Wisconsin Committee said that the choice of chief justice is taken away from the people. They gave that mostly false. So the point was, to change anything, you had to change the Constitution. And that's what I worked on. And this is something that, you know, I first heard about this when I was on a hunting trip, broke down on a garage in North Dakota, and I got a call from Representative Hutton, who asked me if I would appear and what I thought about this. And he had various ideas, and I one of them was to pick a justice out of a hat. And I said, well, what system has that? And he said, I don't think any. Well, I said, look around. Other states do things differently, and pick what you think is would fit Wisconsin the best. And that's how I came aboard on this. And I did testify to the Judiciary Committee in 2013. I also testified to the Senate and the House Judiciary Committee in 2014. To me, this is not a partisan issue. This is not about the present Chief Justice. I tried to get away from that. In fact, we wrote a letter saying that this is a nonpartisan situation. That's what the problem is. I mean, this partisanship bothers me also, as it does Justice Geske. We don't want that. There's certainly no reason that seven grown people cannot get along on that court and do the public's business. And it's because of what's happened up there that brought about this vote and this this whole thing that's happened. If it had been, things had been working well, I don't think there'd been any problem. But for the past number of years, there's been this, I would say, these dust-ups, all of these situations that have happened. And that's why I think that the public, the very people that voted, as I said before, for the new justice to be coming on, voted to change the system. And that's why I think it was done, because of what was going on. So this is a new era. And just because what has happened in other courts, I think that it may take some time, but I think all justices up there have a responsibility to work together to do the public's business. And that's my feeling, and it's not a partisan issue. And for my personal view, it was not to do anything bad to the present Chief Justice or anybody else. It's just to change the system.
John Wilcox is a former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, appointed by then-Governor Tommy Thompson in 1992, retired in 2007. We are also talking with Janine Geske, also a former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, appointed by then-Governor Tommy Thompson in 93 and resigned in 98. We are talking about yesterday's election results and mostly on this constitutional amendment that changes the way Wisconsin's Supreme Court justice is selected. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley was reelected to a third 10-year term on the bench by easily defeating Rock County Judge James Daly yesterday. And voters also approved a constitutional amendment that allows the justices on the Supreme Court to choose their own Chief Justice rather than automatically giving it to the most senior member, which is what is stated in the Constitution right now. We are discussing both of these issues, and we welcome your questions and your views on them. How did you vote on these issues and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have with us two former Wisconsin Supreme Court justices weighing in, Janine Geske and John Wilcox. Let's take another call. Dan in La Crosse is with us next. Hi, Dan.
Hi. I just had to respond. I believe Justice Wilcox is the one who said repeatedly, talking about doing the people's business, and I'm just outraged that a Supreme Court justice can accept contributions from parties who have a stake in an issue that's being decided. It's also done in the legislature. Wisconsin used to be known for good government. I just don't understand how justice can be up for sale. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. I know you addressed Justice Wilcox, but it's time to hear from Justice Geske first on the call. Is there too much special interest money going into Supreme Court races, Justice Geske?
Well, I think so, and part of the problem has been created by the case of U.S. Citizens United from the U.S. Supreme Court. But, you know, I respect Justice Wilcox, and I have no doubt that his support for the amendment was nonpartisan. But it is clear that it became a partisan issue and was raced through the legislature when it finally passed twice quickly within a few months, and then the Wisconsin Manufacturers Group decided to put $600,000 behind it. The two places that the Wisconsin Manufacturers Group has decided to be interested in court procedure is one on the ethics rule, where the court, rather than adopting some kind of limit on campaign contributions that would require recusal, and two is on the Chief Justice selection. They don't seem to be interested in any other kinds of court processes, and so I am very concerned. You know, I don't know that there was the League of Women Voters who proposed a $1,000 limit as sort of the recusal limit before people can sit on the court was the right number, but what the court did is saying that a campaign contribution, basically, whatever the amount, is not alone enough a reason to recuse. And I think that has really affected people's confidence in the court. I'm not questioning the justices themselves, but from the outside, I think it looks like people have influence on that court, and that's not a good thing.
Justice Wilcox, you can respond to Justice Geske's comments, but also specifically, I think our caller was upset that a political party was also donating to a Supreme Court justice's race, as the Republican Party apparently did in the in Judge Daly's campaign.
Yes, well, I would. That's the if this was even-handed, but you know, when you have the Greater Wisconsin Committee, which is characterized in the State Journal and in the Milwaukee Journal as a left-leaning group. They gave in the last, the last week or so, they gave $120,000 to $125,000 to run issue ads. So it isn't he did this and he did that. I think that money has a corrosive influence on the court. I would agree, and at one time, I think Justice Geske and I and others signed that we would like to see that changed, and I believe it was all the justices that, or some of them that are on the present court. You have to deal with a system. We can lament that, but after Justice Kesky said, well, you have United, we have the Caperton case coming out of West Virginia, which was a big Supreme Court case. And so based on that, I think our court has, you know, in the world, real world, has said, well, it will be for each justice to make that decision. But I wish in the if I could remake that, I would say, yes, I would like to limit those contributions or have them, as Justice Kesky said, not as great as they are. But it's the law. That's what we go by, and that's what came out of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, just on the other issue, I would like to just to mention that it's my feeling that this court, now with everyone having an opportunity to be Chief Justice, would suck it up, realize what they're doing, and come together up there and work as a group. And that is, I was there when this actually was done sometimes, and both Justice Kesky and I worked together with that group, and it can be done. So that's why I think I have a little more hope for the court and hope that it will not be having difficulties.
Now, this was not decided in yesterday's election, but there is a proposal in the state legislature to set a mandatory retirement age for state Supreme Court justices. The details are still fluid, and some are saying that this, too, was an attempt to get Chief Justice Abramson to retire. John Wilcox, what is your feeling on this idea, mandatory retirement age for justices?
I oppose that. I think it's a bad idea. I think that I would say that, and I'm saying this, that's whether it was pointed out at one individual, I think that the idea is not palatable in today's world.
Mm-hmm. Briefly, Justice Kesky, on the mandatory retirement age idea.
Well, it's a good place. It's a good place to get toward the end of the interview. I concur with Justice Wilcox. I think it's a bad idea. I also think this was aimed at the Chief Justice, but I agree. I don't think that this is a good idea. Both at the U.S. Supreme Court level and at our court, we have very active, able justices, you know, into their 80s, and I'm against it.
Let's go to Judy next in Sauk City. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I voted no because this felt like a very vindictive thing against the Chief Justice. Had it been a conservative, quote-unquote, good old boy, I don't think this would have ever came up. And furthermore, when your one guest keeps saying they're for the people, they're supposed to be for the people, but it feels like to me that the Supreme Court is now working just for the conservative legislature at the state. And I'm really getting really tired of everybody saying, well, other states are doing it. That doesn't necessarily make it right, and I think we used to be a leader, and now I think because other states do things, I think we are beginning to be followers.
All right, thank you very much, Judy. Justice Wilcox?
I think to Judy's, the things that had taken place over the past many years has been when we have had a seniority system. So that's the reason and having sat there for 15 years and observed it personally, I felt that it would be better with a new system. Now, in answer to the conservative thing, I feel whether it's a conservative Chief Justice or the other way, that this is a better system. Who knows 20 years from now whether it's going to be conservative, liberal, whatever. They'll have a different system. It'll be one where the justices are all considered equal. They'll have a chance to pick their justice. If they don't like what he or she is doing, they can change it. So that was my position, and it had nothing to do with whether it was liberal or conservative, but whoever is Chief Justice would say, yes, this is against me. So let's say it wasn't Justice Abramson, it was Justice Bradley. She would say that, or Justice Crooks, he would say that, or you go right through the list. So this sort of this does away with the, quote, seniority system, which I felt was not the best.
Yeah, we have just a couple of minutes to go in the hour. Maybe very brief closing arguments from both of you. Justice Geske, your hopes for the Supreme Court after yesterday's results?
Yes, I have hope for our court. Our court has a long tradition of being respected in the country. I think there it has some distance to travel. I agree with John that the work of the court is to the work of the people. I do have concerns. I don't believe that we would have had this amendment on our ballot if it had not been Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson or perhaps Bradley on the ballot. I think this was a partisan issue. I don't think that John was voting for it or for that reason, but I strongly do. You know, what we had before was that everybody knew our Wisconsin Constitution provided for the senior-most justice to become Chief Justice. When Shirley Abrahamson ran last time, despite what my esteemed former colleague said, when she ran last time, every article identified her as Chief Justice Abrahamson. The public could have voted her out. They did not. She won overwhelmingly. They knew she was Chief Justice. The Constitution provided that she was Chief Justice. And now it's been changed. But I do have hope. I agree with Justice Wilcox. The court needs to work internally to try to get through their problems and present a unified court in the sense that they don't agree philosophically, but that they're working for the people of the state of Wisconsin, and that this is a strong, independent branch of government, not subject to special interests and influence.
Well, that's going to be last word. I'm sorry we're out of time. Justice John Wilcox, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, you're welcome.
And Justice Jeanine Geske, thank you as well. You can vote in our online Big Question poll. We have it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and it's at WPR.org/joy. You can let us know if you think voters got it right in approving that constitutional amendment that allows the Supreme Court justices to choose their Chief Justice rather than it going to the member who has served the longest, which is the case now. So you can say whether or not the voters got it right. We also give you a chance to weigh in on the re-election of Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. Are you happy or disappointed with that result? Thanks very much to Bill Martins, to Caleb Lato, and to Christy Taylor for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.